This is a joke. It's like honestly trying to read a Rubik's Cube.
Nearly Beloved, we're gathered here today to take a little sip and gargle the bin juice that is MAFS Married at First Sight, the finale episode of MAFS Australia 2020. I'm Lucy May. I'm your MC for these proceedings. And my amazing co-host is Seb's future manager slash wife, Karen Pickering.
Wife-a-jar.
We're recording this on Wurundjeri and Wadawurrung land, and the patron saint of this podcast for this ultimate, if last week was the penultimate, this ultimate episode of this season of Nearly Beloved, Kieran Stott of Angie's Bachelorette season. Let's get into it. Okay, Karen, my question is, and are you willing to accept it?
I'm ready, willing, and able.
Okay. The question is it possible to tell the future in a Rubik's Cube or is that just incomprehensible?
I think it's incomprehendable that it's impossible to tell the future from a Rubik's Cube.
Yes, and maybe it explains why every one of Michael's priorities are incorrect. He's living his life by the Rubik's Cube.
He's living his life by something, by the seat of his pants, literally.
By the fly of his pants.
I've got a question for you.
What's your question, Karen? I will accept.
Would you rather open kiss everyone in that room?
Yeah.
Or go out to dinner with Michael?
Well, I mean, that's an easy one, right? In the age of coronavirus, I'd open mouth kiss everyone in that room.
Correct.
Good. I'm glad we're on the same page about that because I was concerned.
How could Michelle make me love her more? It's like I did not think it was comprehensible that Michelle would make me love her more than I did after she gutted Steve like a fish. But then when she said that she would open kiss, which I think is like her polite word for, like, her more grown-up word for pash, or like a polite way of saying, like, mac on with. It's like this kind of, like, I would open kiss. Open mouth kiss? Is that what she meant?
I guess she means open mouth kiss, but who knows? She might mean, like, open crotch kiss. You never know.
I'm open to a kiss. Yeah, she's so amazing, and I love that she didn't, like, back down at all from her final vows on the couch. So that
love
was great.
It.
Yeah.
There was no backwards and forwarding, not like Ivan and Alex, who seemed like they broke up, then came back and were together, but now have broken up again.
Well, I think Instagram today officially confirms through Alex's account that they broke up in February. So they were together. Together-ish at the time of the filming of the reunion.
Yeah.
But the more important thing is, who cares?
Yeah. Well, apparently Ivan was fired from being a real estate agent because of MAFS. So, I don't know, it's a bit concerning.
Because his employers correctly determined that he would no longer be able to sell property.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I hope he's a union member.
Right. I think it was something along the lines of he could no longer represent the brand of so-and-so. But then I read a quote where he said, well, no, I've just found a different company I found a different company to align with.
He pivoted.
Mm.
He's agile. He pivoted to a new company. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he'd strike out on his own, hang his own shingle out. Ivan / Ivan Real Estate.
Yeah. Ivan's houses.
free mezza deli platter with every purchase. He's just look, I've said it before and I'll say it, or I probably won't say it again because I'll probably never think about him again after today. But I've said all along, he is a fucking weird dude, okay? And I think I have been proven correct in that assertion.
Yeah, you probably have. And similarly, I'm really struggling to muster up any energy about this finale. It was so boring. After the absolute mic drop of Michelle's "Don't come to Jesus, Steve, just fuck off" speech.
In the final vows.
Yeah, in the final vows. This episode was just a wet flannel to me.
Hang on. It gave us a few things. So it gave us Michelle saying, I would open kiss everyone here, which was fucking excellent.
It gave us Kathy's react to when they showed the footage of the of Josh's mum giving the thumbs up about her, and Kathy's face just like, oh.
It was like that Chrissy Teigen gif, like, oh.
It really was. She was giving really good reactions the whole night. So that was good.
It gave us Kathy's look.
Yeah,
it gave us Josh saying, yeah, maybe after this we can go have a drink, and Kathy just like curling her lip, like,
being sure. Like, are you fucking kidding me? No.
It gave us some really good moments. I loved it. I thought it was like a nice kind of like, you know, yes, soggy and kind of bland, but a sort of like a fitting end to the whole debacle, because we got to see Big Hales again, which was awesome. She looked amazing in her sort of nautical inspired get up.
Yeah, the shirt that was attempting to perform its basic duty of covering various parts of her body and almost holding
her bosom
really
in
a delightful way.
Yeah, she looked so good. And we got to see Big Hales like totally own everything because of she just sat there quietly soaking up the atmos of Stacey being accused of cheating on her partner after running everyone through the ringer about Hayley, you know, being unforgivable, and the producers really hung Stacey out to dry by showing that little clip of her saying, I wouldn't be telling anyone, I'd take that to the grave.
Yeah, I'd take that to the grave.
So it was good. I loved it. I thought it was like, I thought Hayley got her, you know, moment in the sun. She got to kind of be the bigger person and say, yeah, you know, I'm not scratching David's eyes out, even though he deserves it. And and it got, I just thought it was like, it was not like, it was nice to see.
You got Sizzy riding off into the sunset.
Yeah, and I also got Seb doing the like most cute, like Kieran Stott Award for expressions of positive masculinity. Like, just before we start, can I just say to everyone, I don't want to be a fuckwit and an asshole and like lord this over you. I was like, oh, Seb, you beautiful man.
You really love him.
I really love him. Yeah, it's true love. So I guess married at first sight does work.
It does. it's convinced
not,
you that you
not because
marry
Lizzie
Seb.
And Seb are getting together, but because I fell in true love with Seb.
Yeah, it's done the job.
Yeah, what else was good about last night? Oh, well, seeing Mikey. Mikey looked like he was going to, like, throw up at any minute.
Yeah, or just, like, levitate off the couch in rage. His knees had already burst forth from his jeans in pure divine fury. That was pretty good. I enjoyed seeing his knees.
Oh, we got to see, like, he looked like he was coming off a bender. Maybe he was, but him and Tash having their kind of united front, and we got to see like all of the other couples that nobody cares about just sitting there like stunned mullets while everyone else got spoken to on the couch.
Yeah, so Chris and Vanessa and Casey and Drew, they didn't even get to talk at all.
And Amanda and Tash.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't get put on the couch either.
True. Amanda and Tash, I feel like, it would have just been clear that neither of them wanted to talk it through anymore. But but Vanessa and Chris and the other one,
Casey and Drew,
I feel like they probably did do it, and the editors were just like, meh, like I don't want to bother.
Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, they decided that it wasn't going to be good enough television. And considering what did make the cut, that's pretty dire because there was a whole lot of garbage. Like Connie and Johnny, that whole segment, boring. Casey and Drew, I thought that it was like a weird production decision not to include them because they had gone through to the final vows and said yes.
Yeah, and said yes.
And then it had fallen apart since then. So I think it was like kind of, you know, it was a weird decision not to have them back.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe like you said, maybe they were just like boring as batshit and the producers were like, nobody cares.
Well, if only the producers had waited a few more weeks, because as we read this morning, Casey and Michael are going out. Well, I actually just got a body shiver, like a chill.
Ew. That, see, you sent me that article and I was just like.
Of course.
Kel's supreme.
Karen's eyes have, like, the irises of her eyes just completely disappeared off the top of her head.
Back, so far back in my roll head they could right see my ass. And there was, like, zero surprise when I read it. I was like, well.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That scans.
yeah, it really does.
But then the last shred of any goodwill that I had towards Casey just, like, went up in a little cloud of smoke. Because anyone who would, like, agree to sit in a restaurant with Michael, let alone, like, embark in a relationship with him, is announcing themselves as a bad person.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe she's discovered that her love language, after all, is juvenility and betrayal.
Maybe, as we could see from the very beginning, her love language is money.
Yeah.
And Michael's like, I don't have much in the way of a personality or integrity, but you know what I have got? Lots of money.
Yeah.
And just to spite Stacey, here's a credit card.
Yes. And Drew is still sitting in the middle of a stream somewhere, well, writing about Cornelius.
Hopefully, let's play fantasy football now. Hopefully Drew and Connie get together. I think I called that as soon as Drew appeared. I was like, he would have been a much better match for Connie because he wanted this, like, you know, unpretentious, down-to-earth, cool woman. Connie's a marine biologist. They can live in cans, you know?
Yes. It's like, he likes the water.
I tell you, we should be the experts. But, and Casey and, Michael would have been like an obvious match as well. But, yeah, maybe they want they do want things to fail.
Mm. One thing we did get to see was David saying to Haley, you shouldn't feel embarrassed. It was something horrible that I did, which, you know, that was the right thing to say.
Yeah. This was right after he said, I did something bad and I don't want to make excuses, but here are all my excuses.
Yeah.
I don't want to make excuses, but I will. And here they are in order. Number one.
Yeah.
Which, you know, fine. It's not like we expect anything like good character from him. But, yeah, you're right. That was a good, if that somehow filtered through to anyone, that the message that Haley going, you know, that's so horrific what you did to me that I'm going to carry that around.
And it will have negative, it'll have negative influence on my work and what people think of me.
Yeah, just my whole life, just people are going to remember that happened to me and that was done to me. And it was a kind of surprising and cogent and correct, a good correction that he made in saying, well, you know, you shouldn't carry the shame of what someone else did to you and I did it, so therefore I'm the one who should carry all of that shame. And it does have kind of like resonance for things like sexual assault and other kinds of abuse, you know, that people who have things done to them feel ashamed and feel as though they're marked in some way. And actually, the only person who should feel ashamed is the perpetrator. That got really heavy. But, yeah, David, I think, you know, David kind of, you know, he did come in and say how grateful he was that Hayley was civil to him. He were, you know, they both were, I think, taking that episode on its own. I think they both were great.
Yeah.
They modeled some really adult behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. If you'd only watched that episode, you probably could have been mistaken in thinking that David was kind of okay.
Yeah. And you would go, but I mean, you know, irrespective of what's happened and we know how bad it was, the fact is that now they're both like, you know what? That wasn't great. It actually got really, really fucked up for a while there. But now we can have a chat with each other, be kind of polite / friendly with each other. And, you know, it's water under the bridge. So, like, irrespective of what happened, that shows them both being quite adult and quite, I guess, empathetic to the other person, but also letting things go. I mean, like, if I was Hayley, I wouldn't be. I'd be like, here's something
to your
I bought
dying
for
day.
You. It's a fucking blowtorch. Let me just throw it to you now on this couch. Like, you know, he doesn't deserve her forbearance, but he got it.
Yeah. Good
on
you,
Hayley.
Like
the rest of the world doesn't deserve Big Hale's full stop, but we got her. Sorry.
Is that Harry Styles?
It is. Walking back for you, just let me.
Lovely young man.
Yeah, he's a beauty.
The other thing that this episode gave us was everyone in the room just lolling when they showed the footage of Stacey saying power couple and everyone wants to be with us, and everyone in the room was just dying with laughter. And I thought, yes.
That was such a good burn on the part of the producers.
And also, we didn't see Tash and Amanda talk. We just saw a bit of the flashback. But someone on Twitter was saying, forget about the footage. We should now just be seeing an update of their comment wars on Instagram. Because all of these people on Insta, you know, they get all up in each other's comment threads. I'm not sure about Tash, but I know that Amanda was on Tash's. I assumed it wasn't Tash.
Yeah, and Amanda has said some, like, truly heinous stuff online.
Yeah, some really disturbing things.
Yeah, yeah.
Which also tracks, I suppose, as
Jordan. Yeah, but, like, even for her, which, I mean, I don't know why I'd be surprised, but, yeah, like, some really – if you want to know, you could just Google it and find out, but some we won't repeat any of it here, but it's like –
some pretty retrograde opinions.
Yeah, like I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, really misogynist and really, yeah. So I don't know. Amanda's got her problems, as we have seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a keyboard warrior. And so if you like that sort of thing, you could probably follow her on Instagram and see some sparks fly.
No, don't follow her on Instagram.
No, well, I mean, if you follow any of the other cast members, you might just see her pop up every now and then with some commentary.
Some doozies, and often then they get deleted or she deletes them.
Kathy's Instagram is like a lot of her makeup looks.
Cool, I'm into that.
Yeah, which is nice.
I saw a story from Tash, so I'll pass on the message, that she said that in the same way that people on the show read the comments that are horrible, that also positive messages and positive comments mean a lot when, you know, they're put in the firing line of this show. So go on, get on there and give the women, I'm going to say, of the show a little bit of positive feedback on the socials. And Seb.
Yeah, it's like.
Are large animate scarecrows allowed on Instagram? Don't you have to tick a box that says that you're not?
I know. They made a special exception for him. I know that this is like kind of cheesy and earnest and deep, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's our final episode.
I love it.
When I went and saw Monica Lewinsky speak last year, was it last year? Was it this year? God, last year. Time keeps on slipping.
Time is a circle, as True Detective told us.
She had this like lockdown event where people couldn't use social media or photos or anything like that. And she asked people not to live tweet or reveal the secrets that she, you know, that when she kind of spilled tea or whatever, like, could we just keep it in this room? Which is such an amazing kind of act of faith.
Yeah.
That for the most part is respected. And I'm certainly not going to reveal anything now that she told us in confidence. But something that she did say, which she's spoken about elsewhere, is that she kind of has this, because, you know, you can imagine, I mean, what kind of relationship she has with the internet.
My God.
Having been like the first person to be kind of globally shamed and cancelled on the internet before that was a phrase. She talks about how, you know, for all of the terrible, awful, you know, trolling and, you know, disgusting things that are thrown at her and that are thrown at everyone online, or, you know, especially women. It sounds kind of naff and I'm not explaining it right, but she basically was like, I view it as that, you know, I just have to keep putting more and more good into the world. And for every bit of good I put in, it's very Buddhist, for every bit of kind of good I put into the world, that kind of meets that bad and cancels it out, you know? And
You can't just give up and think, well, the internet is trash and it's only going to be bad.
Yeah. And like, you know, like I say, it was a very deep rabbit hole for me to go down on a podcast about maths, but the people who were on it are people, and they probably, as we know from talking to Ashley and from being women on the internet ourselves, they're probably getting like all sorts of absolute vile garbage thrown at them. So every bit of, you know, every little like and every bit of like, you're amazing and we love you and, you know, that was cool and whatever, I think does make a difference, because it's like they're human beings and they read it and they see it and they have been treated as though they're not human beings by the network and by the viewing public at times. So, yeah, it's a nice kind of thing that we can all do, is just like, you know, put some positivity back into the world, even if it's in the realm of Australian TV dating shows.
Definitely. Even in the experience of this podcast, we haven't had any horrible feedback. Don't at me, anybody. but the feeling of when someone has bothered to send a message, we've had quite a few messages on Insta DM saying how much they love the podcast. And, you know, a couple recently have said, I can't believe, you know, I wish I'd found you earlier in the season. The feeling that of connection and warmth and appreciation that I get from reading those is just awesome. And it's all women, which I love as well. I'm sure there are a few men out there listening to us. Hey guys. So just that was my little experience with it, was how nice it is to get those positive comments. So anyway, maybe when we get off this, I'll send people a few.
Yeah. We want to have a podcast where people tell us stuff and like email us and message us and tell us things and say, oh, why don't you do an episode on this or whatever. Like, that's kind of what we want to have. And so, yeah, even though this is the last episode about maths, it won't be our last episode.
No, it certainly won't.
It certainly won't not be our last episode, not at all.
Is there anything else about the finale that we want to talk about?
Yes, I think we want to talk about the looks.
Oh, okay, yes, the looks.
Connie had it on the jumpsuit. We didn't get a really good look at Kathy, but she had like a cute purple mini with her kind of Khaleesi hair.
Mermaid hair, yeah. Yeah. I liked Natasha's longer, wavier hair. I thought that looked really pretty on her.
Yeah, Natasha looked good. Although Natasha was wearing like a Camilla, like kimono robe-y kind of thing, which I associate with like 50-year-old women in Noosa or something. You know.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
You do you. 50-year-old women in Noosa, amazing. I'm a 42-year-old woman from Queensland, so, you know.
You're allowed to say this stuff.
I'm about to hit my kaftan years, who knows.
Well, you are wearing a Poochie-style print right now. Good.
Yeah, thank you.
Karen completely showed me up when we sat down to record. I'm in my work-from-home pyjama attire with messy hair and no makeup, and she sat down looking like a complete Michelle-style goddess in this printed number with red lippy.
I'm celebrating. Earrings, I'm celebrating.
Brows done.
That it's the final episode of maths ever, and I'll never have to watch it again.
Never ever have to watch it ever again. We did get a request or a query via Insta DM about whether we are covering Batchy in Paradise, and I assured that listener that that's our plan at the moment. Depending on when they release it, we don't know when it's actually coming out because of the whole everything being delayed by COVID-19,
the whole global pandemic thing.
Just that.
Right. Well, we'll definitely be covering it by hook or by crook. That's
by
for sure.
Crook, apparently.
And as we said in the last episode, we've got some interest in watching Love is Blind and doing a sort of set of capsule episodes on that. And because I haven't been spoiled for that yet. And
no, neither.
And maybe just doing a one-off episode on the absolute majesty that is If You Are the One.
Okay, cool.
And so that's the kind of vague plan. Yeah, so what else did we want to say about last night?
I loved seeing Michelle just straight up laughing at the footage of Steve's vows, how Steve was saying, I won't hurt you and I'll be there for you, and Michelle's just doing this hilariously bitter laugh, just looking like a queen sitting there on the couch, just
she's definitely over it by that point. She's feeling no pain.
Nah, love that. Do we know what all these people do for a job? No, we don't really need to talk about that. Anyway,
Michelle's a teacher.
Is Michelle a teacher?
Of course, because she's an angel sent to Earth.
That's amazing and perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Imagine if Michelle was your teacher. Oh, my God.
Imagine if Michelle was your kid's teacher. You'd just be asking for parent-teacher
interviews all the time. Imagine if Michelle was your best friend.
Yeah. Imagine if you just knew Michelle.
Imagine if Michelle was your next-door neighbour. And every time you walked out of your house, you might get a glimpse of her.
And you just get to wave.
You could just, like, look longingly at her as she, you know, gets into her sporty four-wheel drive. Which
But imagine if Michelle was your neighbour and she put the teddy bear in the window and then you get to go and spot it.
Imagine if Michelle was your neighbour and she, like, when she cooked too much food, she, like, passed them over the fence to you.
Oh, my God. And then in the summertime you could both sit out on the porch on your separate backyards and you could each have a cocktail.
Oh, I
love that.
So obviously Michelle's the best.
Yeah.
Chuck out all the rest. I did think that the final episode that we saw last night, it was good to see all the women looked kind of like that. To me, the women all felt kind of strong and feeling themselves, you know, like Kathy was like, yeah, see ya. Even like Vanessa, you know, was like, like you said, that bitter laughter of Michelle. I think that was kind of Vanessa's vibe as well. And Tash was just like, you know, doing her thing, like looking at the couples on the couch and emoting with them and not being bothered by Amanda. And it just sort of felt like nice, like everyone was kind of on their best behaviour, I suppose.
I've just seen though, Karen, on Twitter, Married at First Sight, the blue tick Married at First Sight account, at Married AU, has just posted, are you single and searching for love? Apply for hashtag maths and a heart, a love heart. And then the replies are not positive.
Oh, I thought you were saying I should apply.
No, I'm just pointing out that the replies are not sympathetic. One guy, Dave, all caps, good luck with that.
Could burn Dave.
And then at Spectre of Me, I would rather scratch my face off with a fork.
Well, fair enough. I have written a poem to celebrate the end of maths. Yeah, to celebrate the fact that I don't have to watch it anymore.
All right. I will listen to that poem. Please go. Please read it.
I'd like to share with you a poem that I've written to celebrate the end of Married at First Sight 2020.
I'm so excited. She's taking a sip.
Just having a sip of my sparkling wine. Things that have been ruined for me since watching maths. Couples. Walls. Sockets. Dinner parties. Salmon. Banana bread. Hands. Feet. Tattoos. Teeth. Mikey. Cushions. Boats, men, women, love, television, alpacas, Sydney Harbour, experts, wine, tigers, unicorns, beds, experiments, all experiments, romance, sex, obviously, cars, sit-ups, push-ups, couches, hair straighteners, hair clips, scrunchies as a subset of hair, foreheads, champagne or sparkling wine is more likely, teeth, mouths, positivity, cameras, lingerie, cuddling, intimacy, and the word intimacy. Yoga, disappointment, moving forward, the beach, kayaks, cheese boards, anniversaries, sequins, blindsiding, lip gloss, macarons, togs, or for everyone else, bathers.
Yep.
One night stands, watches, credit cards, bikinis as a special subset of togs, answers, questions, deli meats, party pashes, parties, hair extensions, lash extensions, nail extensions, lip extensions, boob extensions, relationship extensions, vanilla, dates, makeup, holidays, labels, highlighter, it's a lot of highlighter crime, facial hair, jaunty music,
jaunty music,
honesty, dishonesty, and laughter. I should also add my libido. Goodbye, my lover. Hello. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. So hello. Okay, that's enough. That's my poem. That's all I have to say about that.
I think that's an extremely, extremely fitting farewell to this season, to MAFS probably for us, to all of those things for both of us.
I've been addicted to you. Had our doubts, but now we're fine. I know you. I know your smell.
But Nearly Beloved, it has been an absolute joy, a privilege and an honour to go along towards that dumpster filled with bin juice. Married at First Sight, 2020 Australia. Truly thank you. Thank everybody. Thank the experts. And I think until next time, I now pronounce this podcast finished.